Earners, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, that's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait, don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now. Earners, what's going on? Look, Meta Elevate supports Black and Latinx and Hispanic communities on their journey towards economic success by offering educational resources and support to help expand their skills in digital marketing and software engineering. And Earners, we got something very, very special for y'all. That's right. Meta Elevate is teaming up with EYL University to provide all of our EYL University earners access to Meta's credential programs that prepare you for careers in marketing. Not a part of EYL University? It's okay. As a part of the partnership, Meta Elevate is also going to support 10 subscriptions to EYL University for all our listeners. Here's what you got to do. Submit your email to meta@earnyourleisure.com. It's that simple. Submit an email to meta@earnyourleisure.com to enter. You can learn more about Meta Elevate's other scholarship opportunities at fb.me/EYL.
One of the biggest mistakes people make is you can't buy a building for $100,000 in New York or LA. So this person sent me this building. I bought it because I can't buy that at home. You need to understand that market before you just say it's a good deal, in LA I can't do it. In New York I can't do it. Right. So many people have reached out to me after they bought a building in Cleveland for $100,000 on the street where it ain't no other property on the street except that building. And then also not properly vetting the people that they want to do business with. They looking at social media and they looking at somebody's lifestyle. And I tell people, like, somebody's lifestyle can't put food on the table for you and your kids.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop. a mic drop, bag drop.
All right, guys, welcome back. EYL, this is a very legendary episode before it starts.
Yeah.
I'll get the background on it. So, Beyond Wind, and that's your real government name, right?
No.
Oh, it's not your government name.
It's not my government
name. You learn something new every day. I thought that was
just
your
when you think
name.
You know the person.
Okay. You know, I was crazy. I knew him for like 4 years, and I always thought that I'm like, that's a crazy name to have. All right. Well,
we'll get to that.
But Beyond Wind is what the world knows him as. And I'm not sure the first time I met you, but I do remember you was at the first event that we had in Atlanta, the first like paid event that we had in mm-hmm. Atlanta. It was a 2-day event. It was a live podcast one day, and then it was another day after that Dave Chan spot.
Yep.
And I do remember you being there, but I think we had connected before that.
We met at Matt's first event in New
York. Yep. Shout out to MG the Mortgage Guy. Yep. That's how we met. So that was actually, I met a lot of people there. I met Sabine. I met Miss Business. I met you there as well. I met Jermaine Miller. So I met him, and he's been somebody that we've developed a very close relationship with. And he's one of these people that always just shows love. Like, number one supporter when it comes to the merch. I'm gonna get you a lifetime package of
merch. You already got the lifetime.
Cause every time I see him on the gram, he got the Assets Over Liability shirt.
Every color, every sweats.
All the events that we have, he always comes to all the events.
Fact.
We were just talking about London.
Yeah, we went to your event. Remember we came to Atlanta and you had an event.
At the rooftop.
At the rooftop.
Yeah, yep. that was a vibe.
Yeah.
But even deeper than that, he's just consistently been adding value on real estate for a long time, mm-hmm. and specifically real estate in Cleveland. So he teaches you like how to find properties, how to renovate properties, flip properties, hold properties, like the whole thing. And it's been very consistent for like a very long time on social media. And he actually does these things where he takes people on tours.
Yeah.
And like he'll take you around the neighborhood and show you like this is a house and this is a bad house to buy, da 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 da, and kind of give you like a real in-person experience.
Yeah, a friend of the show, Jacob Lattimore. Shout out to Jacob Lattimore. He's like, yo, I linked up with Beyond. I got some houses.
Yeah, a few people have told me that. So I say that to say, everything happens in divine timing. And right now, we haven't talked about real estate too much.
Yeah.
Because shout out to MG, the mortgage guy. He got the show Rants and Gems. But we talk about it from time to time. And I feel like this is a great time to have the real estate conversation because interest rates are sky high right now. The stock market is down, crypto is down, but real estate hasn't really fallen yet. So a lot of people are kind of nervous. They're like, well, when is real estate going to fall? It's a housing shortage in America. That's what they're saying. So rent prices are up, especially in our neighborhoods. Like rent is going crazy right now.
No, ridiculous.
New York City, it's wild. So real estate is now a hot topic again. Everything kind of works in cycles, like stocks and crypto. Kind of down right now, but real estate is a hot topic. So we're gonna have a real estate show, and I hit up Dula, and I'm like, "Yo, let's get Beyond on." He's like, "All right, I'm gonna hit him," and that was like last week.
I'm not even sure if it was that. It was about to be Monday.
So he hit me like, "Yo, I seen the schedule." He's like, "I'm like, oh, we got a month." He's like, "I'm like that fast?" He's like, "Yeah, he ready." I'm like, "All right, let's do it." So this is a long time coming. And first and foremost, I want to thank you for your support,
yeah,
and for showing us love for over probably 3 years now since the beginning of Earn Your Leisure. Been a very, very loyal friend, loyal supporter. So thank you for that.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
And thank you for inviting us to your day party. I never forget, I got a text message like, we're going to a day party. I'm like, I bet, I'm coming with my trunks. You're like, nah, it's not that type of day party. It's a different one. So welcome to our day party.
Thanks for having me.
If for those not in the know, Beyond is a fitness, I'm going to call you a fitness guru because I watch your workouts. And I take some things from you too.
Oh yeah, so he gets busy in the gym.
We'll get into that though.
So and he's a family man. He got his whole family with him.
Shout out to the family. Y'all can clap it up for yourselves. They're in the building.
Yeah.
Live studio audience.
Yeah. Oh yes. They brought the family to the trap house. So all right. So let's get into this. I want to talk about real estate, but before I want to go back into the. You told me briefly one time at dinner how you actually got started in real estate, and it's a very interesting story. Can you tell us how you got started in real estate?
I can. First of all, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be sitting here in the trap house. I appreciate it.
Why you calling this the trap house?
Because it's
legendary things happen here, more than trapping.
Yeah, it gives trap house vibes. It's in the basement.
Before I share how I started, I have to give a shout out to Jermaine Miller.
Shout out to Jermaine. Okay.
Jermaine Miller reached out to me a couple of years ago on social media, sent me a private message on Facebook saying that he wanted to connect with me offline, wanted to build a relationship, connect with me offline. That's how I actually wrote my first book, because me and Jermaine started getting on the phone every Thursday just talking about how we can help each other, family, business, et cetera. And then one day he connected me with Matt. That's how I met Matt, uh-huh. MG, the mortgage guy. Yeah. And then that's how we connected at Matt. First event. So Jermaine Miller is a super special human being. Like, he's just a special human being. I think he sent me like 60 books within a, you know, like a 2 month period. He just said, you know, he connected with me online. He's like, God told me that you, my brother, I need to reach out to you. He said, I know that may sound weird, but I'm just following what God told me. So I appreciate you. So how I got started in real estate. As a teenager, I used to work with my grandfathers and uncles. My grandfather had a construction company and they used to build houses. I used to help them paint and do a little carpentry work. I hated it, but that was my first exposure. And funny, I never thought about that on my journey until I was on my federal sabbatical. And
federal sabbatical.
Can we coin that?
I like that.
So on my federal sabbatical, you know, you ain't got nowhere to go, so you got time. And I just started thinking, reflecting back on my life. I'm like, this is how I actually got introduced to real estate. This was my first exposure to real estate, was working with my grandfather and my uncles, and I hated it. So when I got into the streets, you know, I was looking for, you know, love and acceptance. So I went to the streets, gangs, drugs, etc. And when I started to kind of get in tune, paying attention to how I felt, basically meaning that the activities that I was involved in never lined up with my heart, and it wouldn't leave. So it kept tugging at me. Mm-hmm. And so I had to figure out something else. And so that was the first thing that came to my mind, because a friend of mine, or one of my sponsors, he was doing real estate. And so he introduced me to real estate. I got a mentor, and he walked me through a few projects. That's how I got started.
So you're in Cleveland, Ohio, and that's a hot market. Surprisingly, I don't think people would really realize that, but it's a hot market, right? So I'm interested to know, we talk about like real estate in Cleveland. What is like, what's the average price of a home for an investment property in Cleveland that people can look at to say, okay, this is a good deal?
The average property, two family, $90,000. Two family.
It's a multifamily.
Multifamily.
$90,000.
Up and down, rehab, tenant in place, about $90,000 average.
So, all right. So with the $90,000, and that's without having to do any work on it?
That's ready. Turnkey, ready. Tenant in place, under professional property management, $90,000.
What kind of rent is that yielding?
About $1,300 to $1,500 a month. Depends on if it's a cash tenant or a government tenant like Eaton or Section 8.
So when you do your first deal, right? So I won't go back to that piece. When you're doing your first deal, obviously, are you assessing property? Do you know how to assess properties? Do you know values? Do you know how to say, all right, we're going to renovate this? And we know, like, what was that process like of you learning?
When I did my first deal, my mentor walked me through it, mm-hmm. step by step.
Okay.
So he basically started sending me lists of properties, and then he showed me how he picked the properties and the neighborhoods. Then we started to go out and look at properties.
Yeah, what are some of the key things you're looking at?
So it depends on your strategy. So just when I first started, it was fix and flip. Mm-hmm. So what we were looking at was the areas in Cleveland that we could buy properties for, and we can sell them around that time. Inner city properties in Cleveland, single families, three ones were going for $80,000 to $90,000.
Mm-hmm.
So my first property, I believe I was all in for around $40,000. So with knowing, like say today, so knowing that the two families, turnkey, rented, rehab go for $90,000, if anything under that, you're knowing that you got a good deal. It depends on your exit strategy and why you really, really want the property.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know that the top number is 90. And so you just work backwards.
Yeah, equity's built in.
Correct. We're not paying 90.
Right.
That's what we sell them for.
Gotcha.
So, all right. So let's get into some real estate convo. You put a post up the other day about earnest money.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Why is that important?
Earnest money, it shows that you're serious. Like you basically use earnest money to tie a property up, and it lets the seller know that you're serious and y'all have a binding contract. So that way they stop marketing the property, because you are under contract. So your earnest money shows how serious you are. So for me personally, I know that it's a lot of people in the market. I think a lot of people are in the way or whatever the case is. So I started to look at how can I stand out, or how can we stand out from the crowd? And one of the best ways to stand out from the crowd is putting up a large earnest money deposit. It makes you stand out. So I just look at it from the standpoint, if you buying a property from me, what are the things that's gonna make you stand out to me? So I just reverse that. So when I'm buying properties from a regular homeowner or even a bank, I wanna put down a large earnest money deposit so you can stop looking at the other offers and you look at mine.
So like if the house is 90, like, just to say, you're like, all right, well, I'm gonna put 50 down. I'm gonna put as large as much as possible, so I stand up for the rest. And this is serious. Not that, just hypothetically.
Okay, yeah.
Well, 50 would be like the whole.
That's half. Right. I mean, it's more than almost 60% of it.
See, I wouldn't have a problem doing that. Here's the thing. A couple things. One, most people don't put down earnest money because they go through programs where people told them that you need no money, you need no credit, you need no hustle, no knowledge, like you don't need anything. So most of the people are trained to get something for nothing. Right. So it's a lot of those people in the market. So that's why when we come to the table, we stand out. So you may have got 100 letters or 100 people called you about you wanting to sell your property that you inherited or however you got it. But when you speak to us or somebody from our team, we're going to stand out because we talking earnest money. They not talking earnest money. They talking everything except earnest money. Two, another reason why people don't want to put earnest money down, especially wholesalers, they don't want to put earnest money down because they don't know how to evaluate the property. They don't know how to analyze a deal. So they're not even sure if it's a great deal or not. So they definitely don't want to put their money on the line. Mm-hmm. We know exactly what it is. So that's why we're willing to put our money on the line. So we'll put whatever amount if the owner said they selling the house for $50,000 and the owner said we need $10,000 earnest money, we need $20,000, we good with that because we know that it's a good deal. We know how to assess it. We know the values.
Are you buying most of these properties cash?
Yes.
Okay. So for people that might not have the cash, what's your conversation to them? Is it like work with a group of investors together or?
My thing is always, whatever you don't have, partner with somebody to have it. Most people are not interested in partnering with people. Most people are not interested in cutting up the money. That's why I always talk about relationships. Building and maintaining great relationships, money and opportunities are the byproduct. Mm-hmm. So whatever you don't have, you partner with somebody that have it. Like, I'm not a tech guy, but my son is. I'm not gonna do no cold calls, but my son's trained somebody to do cold calls. Like, so I don't overthink. Like, if it's something I don't know, I'm gonna find somebody that know it and then I'm gonna split the money up with them.
So it's interesting because most people in real estate, they always use leverage, debt.
Right.
They want to use as little of their own money or as little money period possible and leverage, you know, the bank. So why don't you do that? Why do you do more cash deals?
I think I come from a place where I'm used to cash. I'm used to doing things with cash. I understand the leverage. I've used the banks, the business lines of credit, the unsecured lines of credit, et cetera. But I like to recycle my own money. You understand what I'm saying? So I like to recycle my own money versus it's sitting in a bank account, not getting anything. I'd rather it sit in assets and properties. So I don't know if you remember, we was at dinner in Miami at Bar One, I believe it was, and you was asking me my real estate strategy. Now, basically, my real estate strategy is buy, flip, hold, repeat. It don't sound sexy, and most of our people are looking for sexy and things that sound good and things that they can do fast. Buy, flip, hold, repeat basically means you buy properties, you flip. Flip can be turnkey flips to out-of-state or out-of-country investors, retail flips to homeowner, or wholesale flips, and hold. So most of the money that we make from the flips, one of those three ways that we flip, we save and invest 50 to 75% of that money, and we use it for our buy and holds, and most of them free and clear. And we also use that money to invest in other businesses outside of real estate, lending as well. So then we repeat the process, buy, flip, hold, repeat. Mm-hmm.
So can you break it down a little bit for people? All right, so you buy a property.
Correct.
Then you flip the property.
One of those forms of flips.
What's the forms of flipping again?
Retail flips, that's selling to homeowners.
Okay, selling to another homeowner.
Yep, selling to a homeowner. Okay. Most of those take place in the suburbs, like retail flips to homeowners. Two, turnkey flips. Turnkey flips are properties that's rehab, under professional property management, with tenants in it. Mm-hmm. And so we sell those to out-of-state or out-of-country investors. And then wholesale flips.
You're selling to wholesalers? That's selling to?
Basically we pick it up, we get it at a wholesale fee, and then we sell it. Some of them we don't do anything to. That's basically a wholesale flip. Well, we don't do anything to it. We get it at a great number, and we turn around and sell it.
And then you use that money to buy another property that you're going to hold for the long term.
That we're going to hold. Yeah. Free and clear.
How long do these deals take? Because obviously, you know, going through the process here in New York for a deal, obviously using the bank, you're not using the bank. How long does a typical deal take to get done?
About 45 days.
45 days.
About 45 days.
And when you're doing the buy and hold, how long are you holding?
I don't have a date. Like, we don't have a date. Mm-hmm. Like, it depends. Like, say the market shift. Like, so the market shift over the last couple of years. So some properties that we were all in for 25 to 30,000, we sold some of those properties for 90,000. And then we take that money and then we just double down.
Okay. So you're doing this in Cleveland.
Correct. Obviously.
Is there a strategy to how you're acquiring the properties in Cleveland? Like, is there a aspirations like, look, we're going to take over this whole block, we're going to take over this whole neighborhood, now we got this, like, is there a strategy to it, or how are we going about picking properties?
So we basically do business in Cuyahoga County, so the inner city and the suburbs. On the way here, we were just talking about some different developments that are going on in specific zip codes in Cleveland. So now we're eyeing those neighborhoods, and so we're strategically about to buy in those specific neighborhoods, because the government and other big companies are coming in, buying up land, and they redoing the streets. And so we clearly see what's going on. So now we're specific and strategic about these areas. So that's where we're about to put most of our money, in residential and commercial, in these areas.
So for out of town, out of state investors, people that are in Atlanta, New York, Chicago, LA, where they can't get a property for less than $1 million. And a lot of people get discouraged, right? Because it's like, you don't have enough money to buy a home. And it stops people from actually purchasing home or investing. But you can invest in other places that you don't live in. So you can invest in Cleveland, Ohio. But there's downside too, because it's like, if you're not familiar with the area, how do you know what's good? How do you maintain a property if you're not physically there? So what's your advice for out-of-state investors?
Out-of-state investors, a couple things. One thing I would do for out-of-state investors, I would find out when the local REIA meeting is, REIA, Real Estate Investors Association. So every city have those, and the REIA meeting basically is where you find title companies, private money lenders, investors, wholesalers, people just getting started, people that have been in the game for 20 years, and they meet monthly. And they talk about what's going on in real estate. People are there selling properties. People are there buying properties. That way you attend a meeting like that and you can get familiar with what's going on in that city. You can get familiar with the zip codes that are great for whatever strategy that you're picking for investing.
Yeah, so obviously you've acquired properties, but you brought people along with you. So at a certain point, when did you get the mindset to say, I can't do this by myself? Obviously, you had a mentor. Mm-hmm. How did you develop the team? At what point was it, when I got five properties? All right, I can't handle this. I need a property manager. I'm not good at tech. Let me bring my son. At what point in your journey did this come about? Earners, what's going on? Look, Meta Elevate supports Black and Latinx and Hispanic communities on their journey toward economic success by offering educational resources and support to help expand their skills in digital marketing, by offering tools, resources, and support to help them succeed in business. Through a partnership between Meta Elevate and us, that's right, Earn Your Leisure, we are pleased to offer you access to the Elevate Scholarship Opportunity. Meta Elevate is awarding 100,000 scholarships through Meta Blueprint, giving Black job seekers and entrepreneurs an opportunity to learn digital marketing and software engineering and then earn a Meta certification at no cost. The Meta certification offers valuable training that can make you more competitive in the job market, and it works. For example, Meta certified marketers are shown to have the highest increase in effective ad spend. So if you're interested in a scholarship, here's what I want you to do. Visit fb.me/EYL to learn more. That's fb.me/EYL.
I want to say maybe 15, 20 years ago, probably 20 years ago when I lost all of my properties, because I came into real estate with the same mindset that I had in my past business, and I was just focused on getting paid. I was getting paid by all means necessary. I wasn't into relationships, right? That's something new. Mm-hmm. I was focused on getting paid. And so what I would do back then, they would do 100% financing. So I would finish the house real fast, wrong, like half do the repairs, mm-hmm. let anybody move in. I was the property manager and I did a horrible job. And so when you have, you know, 20, 30 properties where you let anybody move in, you didn't do the rehab, right? Your pocket was the cash register and the bank account, the market switched. And when the market switched, I lost all the properties. At first, I was mad at the real estate. I was mad at tenants. I felt like it was their fault. But when I really took a hard look in the mirror, I knew that I was the culprit. I knew that it was the way that I did business. I knew that I was greedy. I wasn't focusing on building the business right. And so that's why I lost. So that made me readjust and look at the game different. And from that point, I started focusing on building the right team, not just bench players. A lot of people want to win a championship in real estate with bench players. When I say bench players, you want to get the cheapest people possible because you want to put most of the money in your pocket. Mm-hmm. So I could just kind of reverse that where I want the best players. And so I'm willing to pay whatever they cost so I can have a peace of mind.
Okay, so when you lose it all, obviously you got to have a strong mindset to say, I'm not done, right? I want to continue this because this is my purpose. Like, are you sitting down writing systems and like, all right, before I come back into the game, let me have this? Or you're like, all right, I'm going to still dibble and dabble and try to be back in it? Or it's like a hard reset. What did you do when you lost it all? Hard reset?
So it was a hard listen. And a hard listen was my oldest son and my oldest daughter, their mom. She was trying to talk sense into me the whole time, but I was stubborn. I wouldn't listen. I figured, like, I knew it all and you can't tell me anything. Mm. So that's one of the people that helped me come back. Like, you know, somebody that was there from the beginning that believed in me when I didn't believe in myself, you know. And so I started to listen to her. Mm-hmm. And she helped me come back.
So back to this off market, out of state investors, mm-hmm. Management company, like, how important is that to have somebody that's actually managing a property for you if you don't live there? Or even if you do live in the city? Like, because a lot of times people, like, they don't want to collect rent. They don't want to have to get calls about, you know, my toilet's not working at 2:00 in the morning. That's one of the downsides about being a landlord, right? So it's like, how important is it to have somebody else doing that work for you?
The management company is the glue that holds everything together. Without strong management, it don't matter where you buy the property at. You could buy the property in a suburb and you have the wrong management, you're not gonna make money. So the management company is the glue that holds everything together.
How do you know this is a good management company?
I say through referrals. And what I found with referrals is, when I look back, when I reflect and I look at the referrals that I got from people that don't really take care of their business, the referrals matched. When I reflect and I looked at the people that I got referrals from people that took care of their business, the referrals matched. So I would say referrals from somebody that you know that take care of their business, somebody that's solid. That's the first place I would start.
And then, like, what's the typical, like, 10% that they charge?
10% is the average that they charge.
10% of rent?
Yep.
Okay.
10% of the rent, and they charge first month's rent to find you a tenant.
Oh, so they find you a tenant?
Yeah, they find you a tenant.
So would you suggest that for anybody, any real estate investor, to have a management company in place?
Absolutely. I look at it like, if you saying, like how most people saying, I know some people just saying it because it sounds cute. When you talk about building legacy or generational wealth, you should start with that in mind. You start with, I'm going to build a Fortune 500 company. Mm-hmm. Not wait until you build it and then go try to get somebody to manage it. Like, start right from the beginning.
So you hire the management team at first, or, and then I'm wondering now, are you trying to develop in your own? Is that how it works? Because I figure, like, if you hire long enough, you actually know the skills and you know what it takes to do it.
Right.
Now it's like, rather than hire somebody, I could probably build from within and put somebody in place and teach them the skills. And now I have a management team that can now do my properties, but also can create a business for themselves. Is that a strategy that you've used?
No.
Okay.
No. I still outsource it.
Okay.
Okay. So let's talk about rehabs. Can you walk us through a property that you've recently rehabbed? Like, because people always talk about rehabs a lot, but I don't think a lot of people still have a full understanding of, like, you know, the rehab process. Like, what's the rehab process from, like, start to finish?
So you purchase the property from the day you sign the paperwork you get insurance. And I know people might say that that may be elementary. Well, I learned that lesson the hard way. My first rental property caught on fire. I had no insurance. So as soon as you sign the dotted line, you get your insurance. After that, you get the utilities turned on. After you get the utilities turned on, you get an alarm. I learned that the hard way too. I didn't get alarms for like 10 years. Houses kept getting broken into, and then it dawned on me. Listen, you need to stop being cheap and get an alarm. You get the alarm. After that, you put together, you map out your process. So just say 6 weeks, right? Depending on the rehab size. So say 6 weeks and you map it out. So the first week, you're gonna do the exterior work. Depending on the property, the work gonna range, but you know, your roof, gutters, windows, siding, any exterior carpentry work. At the same time, you got your crew on the outside doing the exterior work. You got your electrical, plumbing, and heating person in the inside. Like, so that's going on week one. Week two, you come in, you hanging drywall and carpentry, because you got your rough in for your plumbing already in for the rough in for the electrical, rough in for the furnace. So you come in drywall and carpentry. Outside, they finishing up whatever they didn't finish last week for the exterior. After you paint, you setting in your fixtures, you know, your electrical fixtures, the outlet covers, light fixtures. You set in your kitchens, baths. After that, you doing your flooring, whether it's carpet, hardwood flooring, tile. Most of the time on the end of the project, you got your punch list. So that's all the little knickknack stuff. So that can range. I got a 6 week schedule, but it depends on the size of the rehab. But that basically gives you a blueprint that you could use.
So typically 6 weeks is a good time for a regular size house.
Yep, 1,400 square foot property. Okay. 3-2, so 6 weeks.
So is there any time when you're looking at a rehab and you're saying no? I mean, obviously I'm assuming that you're basing on the deal saying, all right, these are the comps, this is the neighborhood, but this rehab, it looks like it's gonna take too much. Like, is there a sign that says, all right, we can't do this one?
The only sign for us to say is that we can't do it is the foundation issues. Other than that, if the numbers make sense,
you make it happen.
It's a go. Yeah, the path is math. Yeah,
the path is math. So a lot of times people say contractors are not very trustworthy.
C-O-N.
Yes.
That's my man MG was saying.
Yeah.
Contractors.
So how do you, what's the steps of, I remember Caesar told us before, like, never pay a contractor in full. Pay them in stages. Because if you pay them in full, they're going to run off with the money.
Full-time going.
What's your strategy on dealing with contractors?
Again, I would get referrals from somebody that you admire when it comes to business. And never give them most of the money up front. You have to stay ahead of them with the money. And I always tell contractors that have an issue with how we pay, I tell them that the house never comes up missing. The house never disappears. Contractors come up missing and they disappear. So if you know you're going to do the right thing, why you need most of the money up front anyway? So typically what I like to do is after the next day, you do a full day's worth of work, and then the next day I'll give you a third of the money. And then once you did a third, you know, more of the work based upon the scope that you put together, that's complete. Now I'm going to pay you another percentage of the money.
So you're paying thirds?
Correct.
Throughout the course. So if it's a 6 week, every two weeks you get paid.
Correct.
Do you use the same contractor for everything?
Right now we got a main guy and then his team, and then he oversees other people. So we go through one person. Mm-hmm. And let him handle the rest.
How often are you on the property? Because I'm sure there's a bunch of properties under the portfolio. So how often are you just there for, all right, this is the deal, we signed the papers, now the systems are in place, everybody knows what to do, and you're just checking? Like, how often do you go?
So it depends. When I get bored, I go to the properties. Yeah. I really don't have to, right. But I get bored, I go to the properties. The same thing with Home Depot. Like, I don't have to go to Home Depot, but I miss it sometime, and I want to walk, you know, walk around.
That's through some shots.
Yeah. So, and then most of what we're doing right now is not fixing flips. Most of what we're doing right now is wholesale flips, where we're not doing any work. Most of the stuff that we use in our team for is things that we are going to hold.
Okay.
And so right now, what's hot right now is the wholesale flips where we buying, you know, for pennies on a dollar and we flipping without doing anything.
So talk about that a little bit, the wholesale flips that you're doing right now.
So repeat that.
Talk about that, the wholesale flips.
So what specific question?
So like the wholesaling real estate, for my understanding, it's like the middleman, right? Like I have a property, the wholesaler never actually owns the property, right? They just negotiate a deal. So if I'm trying to sell this property for $50,000 and the wholesaler can sell it for $70,000, then they make a $20,000 profit, right?
Right.
But they don't actually ever take control. They never buy the home. They just find somebody else that is looking to buy the property for $50,000, and then they can charge them whatever they want, and then they keep the difference. Is that correct?
Correct. They basically assign it to somebody else for a fee.
Okay.
And you're right. Most wholesalers never own the property. Most of the deals we do, we own the properties.
Okay. So it's different than the average wholesaler.
Yeah, it's different. It's a different conversation when we speak into those homeowners because we're actually buying the properties. So we don't have to shop it on the low. Like we could put it on the MLS. The MLS is the largest cash buyers list in the world. Most wholesalers, they can't put the properties on the MLS because you got to own the property in order to put it on the MLS. But putting it on the MLS, it exposes the property to, you know, millions of eyes.
Mm-hmm. And they take their percentage.
Correct. But we get them at like those fees don't matter. Like you get a great deal, like you have room in there to pay those fees.
So why are you doing more of those these days than buying like anything? Like why is that attractive to you right now?
Well, wholesaling is attractive to us where we don't have to manage multiple crews. And right now we got three crews that we could depend on. So if we decide to go full-fledged with fix and flips, we're going to have to put together some more teams. Mm-hmm. And right now, where real estate is right now, the cycle that we're in is like wholesaling makes both sense. Like where you ain't got to manage no crews, you ain't got to go to Home Depot. It's like the fastest thing since, you know, the stuff that was going on in 84.
Shout out to 84.
So that's the year I was born. So what's your thought on the real estate market in general right now? Because like I said, real estate has continuously gone up when everything else is continuously going down. But we are in a recession. Interest rates are high, 6%, I think is the average, something like that. Mm. So are you nervous that real estate is gonna correct itself?
Can we see another 2008?
Or maybe not even 2008, but what's your thought? Like, will it fall, you think?
I'm not sure. But to answer your question about being nervous, I'm not nervous. I think that, first of all, it's a strategy for every zip code on the planet, for every real estate cycle. And I think when they use the word crash, it's to scare the people that's already scared. It's a correction. I think everything has cycles. Real estate, stock market, life, business has cycles. And I think once we clearly understand that everything is cycles, we start to come up with solutions to prepare ourselves to take advantage of the things that happens when you have those cycles. What I see in those cycles is things go on sale when you have those cycles in the stock market, just like real estate. And when I look at America, and I do just a little bit of research. When you look at the Great Depression, what you'll see is two things. When you look at the scamdemic, what you'll see is two things. When you look at the bank crash, you'll see two things. When you look at the real estate market crash, 08, 09, you'll see two things. The two things are this. You see a handful of people that's prepared, ready, with resources. They take advantage of the opportunities that present themselves and they get super rich. Some of the best companies on the planet were born in the Great Depression. The second thing you see is the masses, unprepared, not ready, no resources, running for cover. You can't take advantage of opportunities if you're running for cover. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at all those things I just named, those are the two things you'll see.
Mm. Now, you said it here in America, but you were gracious enough to be in London with us. We appreciate that. That was an amazing time. So shout out to London. International investors, how are you attracting them? Are you using the internet, obviously, to attract international investors? What's that process like for you?
So I'll say the first international investors we got from Canada, we found them on, they found us on social media, mm-hmm. on social media. And we did one deal, and the one deal led to, you know, them bringing their family members, their friends, and it just kind of spread. I think that, like I tell anybody, do one deal like it's millions on the table. Like, treat that one customer or client like it's millions on the table, and they will go out and tell more people about you. Mm-hmm. And the money will find you. Like, you do what's right, you be impeccable with your word, you do great business, the money will find you. And so that's how we started to attract those clients in other countries.
How many countries? So obviously you said Canada. How many other countries?
Canada, Australia, Israel.
Okay.
So you had spoke about the another post that I saw, the demo list, and why that's important to tap in with a local expert. And you said in Cleveland, you are the local expert. So can you talk about that, like the demo list and different things, some things that could mislead investors?
So basically what I was saying while I was sharing with that post is a lot of investors reached out to me after they bought properties from people that misled them. And so basically they got quick claim deeds from people. And when you do a quick claim deed, you don't necessarily go through a title company, you don't get title insurance. And so you're not secure. You don't know if the property got liens on it or not. You don't know if the property is on the demo list. You don't know if the property is on the condemned list. But when you go through the title company, you get title insurance, and then they will share with you if the property is condemned or if the property is on the demo list or if the property has back taxes. In Cleveland, once the property is on the demo list, there's nothing you could do to get it off of the demo list. Once they schedule it, that means that they tearing the property down on this specific date, and they're going to send you a bill after they tear the property down.
It's demolition list.
Correct.
So you could be buying a property not knowing that what you just purchased is going to get torn down.
Correct.
And they you got to pay for it? That's
correct.
Wow. How? Damn.
And that's happened to people? You see that happen to people before?
That happened to a lot of people. The people in my DMs talking about it or reaching out to me, scheduling one-on-ones with me, talking to me, but it's too late. Like, you should talk to me first. Yeah. And I would advise you against that. Anytime somebody is trying to get you to take a quick claim deed, it's a red flag. Like, it's a red flag. Like it's a reason. Like, okay, you new to investing and they want to get you to go away from the title company, that's a red flag. Like, I have people come to me that want, you know, we could just do a quick claim deed. No, we're going to go through this title company, because I don't only want to sell you a property, I want to educate you as we grow through this process, because I know that you don't know. And most of the people that you meet out here, they won't be like me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've not even heard of demolition. How much is the average, like, demolition bill?
About $20,000.
Wow.
So most of the people buying the properties for the most of the people that reached out to me, they're buying the properties anywhere from $20,000 to $50,000.
Yeah.
And the property get tore down, they got to pay $20,000.
So they might even be putting down $10,000 to, and then damn.
So why would the property get torn down if it's just like dilapidated, like it's just
correct
an eyesore in the neighborhood?
Yeah. So once it's on the condemned list, like the city deems it condemned,
unrepairable,
right? After so long, the homeowner don't do what's necessary to get it off the condemned list. It's just basically going to pull all of the permits and making some kind of effort to do the repairs. It's like a countdown time. And so you don't connect with the city inspectors. You keep ignoring their phone calls, their letters. Yeah. Now it's on a demo list because we've gave you ample amount of time to take care of it. And once it's on a demo list, we turn it down and we're going to send you a bill.
So you go for condemned to demo to out of here.
Well, is there correct opportunity? So when they demo these properties, is there opportunity for, because now it's just a vacant lot.
Correct.
So does it go to the auction or?
Yep. So most of the, whenever the city do that, most of those properties, the land, like, so now you, it's your land, like, but if you don't step forward, then the city
We still own the land.
You still,
oh,
yeah, it's your land.
Okay. Oh, okay. They just knocked down the property itself.
Yeah. You just got the land instead of the property. Okay. So the property gone, you got the land.
Okay.
But it's still probably an opportunity for investors because now you can probably buy the land for cheaper because there's nothing on it.
It depends. If somebody got to pay that bill, that $20,000 bill, they not just letting the bill go.
Oh, so it's like it's on the property.
Correct.
So if you buy the property and it's not, you still got to pay that bill as part of the property.
Correct. Right. And if you don't, then they just take the land. And then at that point, they auction the land
off. So whatever the land is plus the 20.
Correct.
Got you. So you're obviously the local expert in Cleveland. I'm wondering, do you ever see expansion to the greater Ohio, Akron, is that part of the plan, expansion?
Columbus, Ohio. Shout out to my guy, Maurice Claret. He told me there's a lot of opportunity in Columbus, Ohio.
Hmm. Jamestown, Ohio. That's where he's from.
No, Maurice sent me a DM last week.
Jamestown boys.
Yeah. Did he?
Yeah.
Okay, that's my guy.
Yeah. Is that part of the plan to expand to other parts of Ohio?
I'm open to it. It's not something on a drawing board right now because there's so much opportunity where we are. I think sometimes I watch people go wide too fast when you could go like deep. So we have so much opportunity. So I'm not thinking of going wide. Like I'm in a couple states, but with partnerships. That's the only way. But my focus is Cleveland.
I'm thinking King of Cleveland. We got Bron. Sounds fitting.
Very neck and neck.
That's right. Until he returns.
We have a property in Cleveland, don't we?
We were working on one.
I think we have a couple
in Connecticut. And
no, yeah, a few. I got to talk to Matt. I'm not sure.
I think y'all do.
We do.
We
got a property in Cleveland too, Connecticut. Yep.
So Cleveland, all right. Yeah, we do have a property in Cleveland.
Shout out to MG.
A lot of people, when you hear about Cleveland, you think about LeBron, and you think about the Browns.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Do you think about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it's a big attraction. It's a big attraction for y'all. No?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
The Rock and Roll
But you might not, you sure. might not, you might, people might not think of too much outside of that. So for people that aren't familiar with Cleveland or don't really understand why Cleveland would be a beneficial market, just in general, like what are some of the upsides of, or things that's actually happening in Cleveland where it's to say, okay, this is a city that has some potential?
I think one of the biggest things is you got Cleveland Clinic, which is the biggest hospital, the second largest hospital in the world.
Yes, very, very large medical center.
Yes, it's the second largest. And so people want to know, like, how is the rental market so great, or how they're going to be able to pay? Well, Cleveland Clinic is one of the largest providers, like, you know, for employment, like in Cleveland. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, good employment. Nurses, doctors, those are very good people to rent properties to, especially nurses.
It's great employment. And then we have one of the biggest medical colleges in Cleveland, which is Case Western Reserve. So most of the people that leave Case Western Reserve, they go right to Cleveland Clinic.
Do they? So are you seeing properties? Because I know Airbnb is a thing, and I know rental nurses is a thing.
Right.
Is that something that you see people doing in that area?
For sure. In the Cleveland Clinic area, which is zip code 44106.
Yeah.
A lot of student housing, medical student housing, Airbnbs.
Yeah.
And then when you think about the price point, like how many other cities can you go to where you could buy two family homes for $90,000 turnkey? Where you can't even get a garage in New York for that.
You can't.
Difficult.
Yeah, and you got, like you said, you have colleges, you have sports, and you have medical professions. Those are key ingredients that you need to have rental spaces.
You said the path is math. You talked about ARV. That's after rental, after repair value, right?
Correct.
So is there a formula that you look at when you say, okay, I'm going to buy this property for 50, and then the ARV has to be 100 for it to make sense? Like, do you do something like that in your brain, or?
I don't. With most of the properties that we focus on is in the inner city. So in inner city, we don't focus on ARV, the after repair value. The only time after repair value come into play if we're gonna do retail flips in the suburb.
Why is that?
Because in the suburbs, we bind it to sell to a homeowner. So it needs to fit specific requirements in order for us to make the investment. In the inner city, we buying properties for rental. So we know that we buying this for cash flow, like not to fix and flip. Two, we know that we getting it at such a great number that it don't matter what happened. If the market go to zero, we still in a great space. Example, a property we just picked up, a two family with vinyl side, newer windows, new roof, tenants in place for $15,000.
$15,000? How big is the house?
It's a two-family.
Two-family house?
Two-family house.
How much work you got to put into it?
So, it's tenants in there. We're in the process of evicting the tenants. $20,000 max. Remember, it got a new roof on it, newer windows, vinyl side. I posted it on social media a couple of days ago. Like,
so why is it only worth $15,000? Why?
Because a tired landlord wanted out, was having a headache. And so that's a great lead type in today's market. Yeah. There's a lot of landlords that want out. Some of them want out because they older. They want to do something else. They want to cash out. And the property means more to us than it means to them. And then you also have the tired landlords where they don't know how to deal with tenants. So they don't have the right things in place to deal with tenants. So they got a headache. And so they want to cash out.
Yeah. How much is the rent?
That rent on this specific property is the downstairs tenant is paying $450 and the upstairs tenant is paying $450. So that's way below market. Right now the rents on the two family ones, around $675 average up to $750. Unit.
I'm just thinking in my brain, and I'm sure that how you calculate it in yours is like, all right, the roof is new, that's about $10,000. New windows, that could be $15,000. And they want 15 for it, so 35 all in if it's a $20,000 renovation.
It's a no-brainer. Right.
That's a nice watch. $35,000. Got a two-family home.
It makes sense.
And sense.
It makes both sense and sense.
And sense.
So when did you start incorporating your family into this business? Yeah. And talk about that. Like, what's the role of who is your team and what's the role of the team? Because I know your team consists of your family a lot.
I incorporated them. At the time, it was only five of them, kids. So okay. It was only five kids at the time. It's seven of them now. So
you got seven kids?
Yeah, I got seven kids.
Okay.
So when they were, yeah, she wasn't here yet. That's my youngest. Okay. So when they were like five, six, seven, when I would pick them up, they would ride with me to look at properties. They would ride with me to pick up material from Home Depot. At the time, I was picking up contractors, dropping them off. They would go with me to the title company. They would go with me to the bank. They hated it. Like, most of the time, they didn't want to go with me, but I made them go because they knew that that's what we were going to be doing, and I was going to be giving them a seminar. And fast forward, but Brian was around 11. That's my oldest son, around 11. And I started teaching him how to evaluate properties. So we would walk through a property. We would identify everything that's wrong. Then we start putting numbers to it. So we did that a few times. And then what I would do is pull up to properties and I'd tell him to go in and come back with a number. Mm-hmm. And so that's how he learned. So he was the first one really interested. And then after that, my other son, at the time, he was, fast forward, he was trying to rap, but that ain't work out. that ain't really work out too well. So fast forward, what happened was, Brian went to college, and that wasn't really working out. That ain't really work out for him, and I felt like he wanted to do real estate, but he went to college for another reason. And so we start having this real estate conversation, and I basically let him come work with me for free to show me that he was serious. And so he came to work with me for free. He started going to Home Depot, picking up material, overseeing projects. So he did that on a couple of projects, and I seen that he was committed, like the project was his. Mm-hmm. And after that, I started to pay him to oversee projects. And then around the same time, some sweet opportunities presented themselves, and then he went half with me on a couple properties. And then his brother, I guess, he couldn't resist seeing what was taking place. Like, you know, his brother getting these checks, owning properties. He threw his rap career away.
Is it a start?
Yeah. And
it's a rap.
He joined. And then my oldest daughter, I can remember one day talking to her. She was living in Atlanta at the time. And she said, I'm ready to get my first property. I want to like, go in on a property with me. And I'm thinking like, you got some money? And so we did our first property together. We bought a property through one of my bank connections and flipped it without doing anything to it. That was her entry. And yeah, my youngest daughter, she in the process of buying a property. As we speak, she has a different business. She made her first six figures last year in her business.
Congratulations. Congrats. So everybody's more so, it's not necessarily like a set role. It's just like they're investors with you. They're like partners in different.
Correct.
And they're doing their own thing on the side as well?
Yes.
So they're building their own real estate portfolio. Some of it is with you, okay. Some of it is by themselves.
Yep.
Okay. Makes sense. Yeah. As long as he doesn't try to fund his rap career from it. We'll see.
Wouldn't be wise.
So do you have a goal as far as to say, okay, this is the amount of properties that I want to have in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, or for the family, or this is... Or do you evaluate your business like that, or?
Actually, I don't. Okay. I don't even think about retiring. Like I don't think about some end point. I don't. I know it sounds good. Like to say, yeah, this, that, but I don't.
So at what point, I mean, you've had an illustrious career in real estate. Obviously, you've been teaching your family, but at what point do you decide to say, all right, I need to teach the general public because there's so many people that need to learn, people being taken advantage of. When do you start to do that?
Well, actually, I just started doing that. Well, a couple of years ago, as soon as the pandemic started, I started thinking about teaching because the way that I was taught, my guy walked me through properties and I was like, I want to teach the same way. I think that's the best way to learn real estate is an actual property. So I came up with the teaching, like inviting people to Cleveland and teaching them. So I had a vision. It wasn't always thought out. I'm one of those people that run a lot of no huddles, like with no play, like I run no huddles. Like I've made my best decisions running no huddles. And so I ran the idea to play by Nita, cousin Nita, and to get her to partner with me because I wanted to add as much value as possible to the people. And so I ran the play by cousin Nita, like wanting her to be a part. And so she started to give me like these ideas and, you know, just to kind of help from the side. I'm like, nah, I want your undivided attention. Like we gonna partner and run this play. And so that's when we came up with the Cleveland infield training with the pros, where we invite people to Cleveland for a day. We go through zip codes. We talk specific strategies for each zip code in Cleveland. We go into real properties that we own and teach them just like I learned. Teach them how to, you know, evaluate and analyze deals. So that's where it started at. And then just here recently, I started started to mentor people. It was something that I got a love for helping people, but that's a commitment. And, you know, my sister, Dana Christian, pushed me to do that. But I'm glad I'm doing it. It's therapy for me.
Yeah. I mean, I like you because it's area specific. It's not like, you know, oh, this is broad range real estate advice for the whole country, because it's like what's relevant in New York is not relevant in California or relevant in Alaska or New Mexico. So sometimes, you know, it's hard for people to just say this is the one way to do things, because like some areas you can't even real estate hold. You can't wholesale real estate. So it's like if you're teaching wholesale and real estate, and I think Chicago, they just outlawed that or something like that. So
right.
It might not, what you're teaching in Indiana might not even be relevant in Chicago, even though they're relatively very close to each other. Like, you know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. The fact that you are just like drilling down on your area, I think is beneficial. And like I said, you don't necessarily have to live in an area to invest, because right. We invest and we don't live in Connecticut. We got properties in Connecticut and we got properties in Cleveland, and we was looking at Chicago. So all of the areas that we was actually looking at for real estate, none of them was in New York. For a variety of different reasons.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a lot to be said for being an expert in your area. Like, you know what I mean? Instead of trying to be a jack of all trades and cover every single area. Well, let me ask you this before we wrap. What are some of the biggest mistakes that people that you have seen people make in real estate? Because it's all about, you know, learning from your mistakes, but right. I feel like the best way is to learn from other people's mistakes. So this is like, if somebody can hear some of these things and they can say, okay, this is something I shouldn't do or I should stay away from. Like, what are some of the mistakes that people are making? Or maybe you yourself as me.
One of the biggest mistakes people make is they say that you can't buy a property for, you know, you can't buy a building for $100,000 in New York or LA. So this person sent me this building. I bought it because I can't buy that at home, right? You need to understand that market before you just say, it's a good deal in LA, I can't do it. In New York, I can't do it.
Right.
So many people have reached out to me after they bought a building in Cleveland for $100,000 on the street where it ain't no other property on the street except that building. Or they bought the building and the building is on the condemned list and need $500,000 in repairs that you didn't know about. So you need to know that specific market that you plan to invest in. You can't, how are you gonna compare it to New York when you don't understand the market? Two, taking a quick claim deed instead of going through the title company. That's I know at least 200 people. Mm. I would say about 200 people that have took a quick claim deed and they didn't get what they thought they signed up for.
That's crazy.
They got properties with back taxes on it that cost more than what they paid for, properties on the condemned list, and some of the properties tore down. That's huge. Like, build a relationship with a title company first. Or if you are in a state where they don't have title companies, but we're talking about specific to Cleveland, you need a real estate attorney on your team. Most of the people that I've seen lose, if they would have had a real estate attorney on a team to look over the documents that they signed, they wouldn't have lost. Like, it's almost impossible to lose with a real estate attorney on your team.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't cost that much.
Mm-hmm. It's cheaper than the property getting tore down, or you're buying a property with, you know, $20,000 worth of back taxes on it. And then also not properly vetting the people that they want to do business with. They looking at social media and they looking at somebody's lifestyle. And I tell people, like, somebody's lifestyle can't put food on the table for you and your kids. Mm. You're looking at the wrong thing. You need to be focused on the business. So talk to about 10 people that have done business with the individual that you plan to do business with. Like, vet them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very important.
Vet them out.
What about some mindset? When we was in London, you gave a very powerful, passionate speech. So then when we talk about the mindset, and that could be for real estate, that could be for business, that could be for life. I know you're real big on that. Like, how important is it for people to have their mind right before they even think about starting investing or building an empire?
Mindset is the key. Mindset is the foundation of everything. With the right mindset, you could build an empire. You could lose an empire and build another one with the right mindset. I think that most people that pray for a financial breakthrough, what they need first is a mental breakthrough. Mm. Because with the mental breakthrough, the financial breakthrough will be a byproduct. I think when you really tap in and focus on personal development and mindset, you tap into getting closer to know who you really are as a human being. you start to develop a relationship with yourself, so you see no need to go outside of yourself for things that you already have. Like, most of us are looking for happiness outside somewhere. Happiness is yours, it's your birthright. Like, it's inside of you. I can remember, you know, in my late teens, looking for happiness outside of myself, looking for happiness in relationships. And then when people left me, like, I'm at my bottom of lows, because now I got to go feel like I got to find somebody else so I could be whole again. When, okay, you already created whole. I can remember in my early 20s setting a goal to make six figures, because I felt like the money would fill the voids that I was feeling from, you know, childhood trauma, you know, abuse, bully, et cetera. And then I reached the goal and I'm looking around, looking for some miracle to take place. Nothing happened. I was more, you know, stressed than what I was before I got the money. And it was like, at that point, when I came out of that place, I realized that everything that I was looking for is inside of me. It's not in the money. Because, okay, I got the money and I still feel weak. I still feel empty. And at that moment, I started to work on myself, started to be comfortable, getting comfortable with myself as a man. Because most of us, we fit the description, but we still boys. We just fit the description. And so once you get to that place, or once I got to that place, at that time, at that point, I knew that I made it. So it was like the money is just a byproduct. Mm-hmm. Like, so that's why I focus on relationships. That's why I walk away from $1 million situation and people wondering like, how could you just do that? Like, dude, I'm basically telling you that I'm a cut you in on this, and we're gonna make this money. But I'm like, your words and actions don't line up. I wanna do no business with you, because I know that I'm pre-approved by God. It's just a matter of time before I have everything that I want. Pre-approved, and it's gonna come pre-approved by God.
Ain't matching your smile.
So it's relationships. Yeah. You know, so mindset is everything. After mindset, it's a relationship. Like, how did I get here?
Yeah.
That's it.
Very important.
Yeah.
It's the most valuable currency, relationships.
Take you places that money can't.
Yeah.
Quick question before we go. Are there any other things that you invested in outside of real estate? I know we had a couple Zoom calls in the market. Are you still pursuing that or something? Or is it just like, are you still trying to find other places to invest?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So I put some money in crypto, got a little in stocks.
Yeah.
Still intrigued by that. Like, but yeah.
That was an intense Zoom call.
Yeah, it was. My son was on there. Yeah. Yeah, he was on there. I was like, yeah.
One of us going to get this.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
No problem.
I appreciate that.
I said, you wore the shirt long enough. Anything I could do, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate that.
No problem.
And so me and a couple of my friends just started a private bank too.
Oh, yes?
Yeah. So soon we're going to share the details so other people can do the same thing. So we put together, we 15 of us got together, put some money together, got everything set up. So pretty soon, within the next few weeks, we're going to share the details so others can mimic it. It's something I've been wanting to do for years, but most people just talk. And so it's somebody we just started doing business probably 36 months ago. And like, he not a talker. Mm-hmm. And he's the same individual that is mentoring me when it comes to commercial real estate. So that's where we headed next.
Powerful.
Is there a lot of Chinese investment in Cleveland?
Repeat that.
Chinese. A lot of Chinese investors coming?
I haven't connected with any Chinese.
Okay.
I think the largest group in Cleveland is probably the Israelis. They got something over in Israel where they teaching people how to come to Cleveland to attract people to get them to sell properties for pennies on the dollar, waving money in front of them saying, I got 10 million. So, give me a good deal on this. And, so they basically got a school over in Israel, somebody training them to come to Cleveland and set up shop. It's interesting.
Wow.
That's crazy.
The more you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, what's next? What's on the horizon for you? Any new ventures that you're working on, or any events? I know you had an event previously. Any new events that you got coming up? Anything like that?
Yeah. So we're doing a Cleveland infield training with the pros September 24th. Cleveland infield training with the pros. Also, the bank venture, like that's huge. I think that's going to be a game changer for a lot of people. And just elevating to the commercial. So that's exciting. We bought a 13 unit building a few weeks ago. 13 unit, 10 car garage.
Dope.
And so that space is super interesting.
Dope. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
It's been a pleasure, my brother. I want to thank you. Tell the people how they can follow you on social media, website, or any information like that.
You can hit me on social media, Beyond Wynn, B-E-Y-O-N-D, last name Wynn, W-Y-N-N, Beyond Wynn, all social media platforms. You could check out the menu of things that I offer at beyondwynn.com, beyondwynn.com.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Troy, housekeeping items?
I feel like Beyond should do this part, man. Yo, shout out to everybody that's supporting the merch. Shout out to our ambassador of the merch.
That's what's up. That's all I was trying to get.
This morning, I said, look, I'm going to try to wear a color he doesn't have. And luckily, I was fortunate enough to do that. So shout out to him and shout out to everybody that's supporting it. Again, shout out to everybody on EYL University, all our earners out there. Love is love. Shout out to everybody on Patreon. And yeah, let's continue to spread the word.
Yes, and if you see us in Cleveland, we will be buying property. We got to get some. We'll talk off camera.
But, play. Yeah,
we got to run the play. So if you see us
let's
in
grow.
Cleveland. Say what's up. Thank you guys for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Backdrop.
Backdrop.
A mic drop. Backdrop.
Backdrop.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.